from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. At 10, a known carcinogen was found in the groundwater last week underneath the McClymonds High School campus in West Oakland, causing an emergency closure and displacing students. We'll hear from local officials and community members on what's being done to address the situation. And if your family has been affected by the school closure, we want to hear from you. Then at 10:30, we'll bring you a live news conference from California Governor Gavin Newsom on the state's response to the coronavirus. That's all next, after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This week, McClymonds High School students attended classes, but not at their campus. McClymonds abruptly closed last Thursday after district officials found trichloroethylene, or TCE, in groundwater below the school. TCE is a known carcinogen and can vaporize and contaminate the air. While preliminary tests at the school show the air to be safe, community members remain skeptical, highlighting longstanding concerns about environmental justice in West Oakland. The school's 350 students have been assigned to nearby schools until at least the week of March 9th, when lab test results are expected to be complete. In a few minutes, we'll hear from City Council member Lynette Gisbin McElhaney, who represents West Oakland. But first, here with me to talk about how the school district and local community are responding to this, Laura Clivens, reporter for KQED News. Welcome.
Hi.
Good to have you.
Thanks.
John Sasaki, also with us, Director of Communications at the Oakland Unified School District. John Sasaki, good to have you aboard. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning to you. And Laura Clivens, you were at a community meeting last night. What went on?
Yeah, it was a pretty boisterous meeting. It was very well attended. I'd say there were 150 to 200 people there in West Oakland, close to McClymonds. John was also there. And parents and community members really had a lot of things that they wanted to know. You know, the information that came out was sort of inconclusive. We heard that from the councilwoman, who we'll hear from soon, that there is inconclusive. This was the beginning of the conversation. And so we're going to hear more about what's happening. But they found the first testing found that there was not TCE in the air, and they're still waiting for some more testing. So people were really feeling a lot of different things around that.
Well, community has been described as skeptical.
Yes, exactly. So we had parents on the one hand saying, I want my student back in school. If it's clean, let's have them in there. They're seniors. They have to finish senior projects. We heard from I heard from someone named Letitia Saunders, and she said, you know, OK, my kid is out doing field trips, but that is not what I want.
I can take my own son on a field trip. I need my son to be getting his senior project done and to get his work done so he can leave in June.
So he's a senior. He needs to graduate. And then others said, you know, if it's not clean, then how is it going to be fixed? And they really wanted to know, how big of a problem is this? If it's at McClymonds and it's supposed to have come, this chemical, from some other place, you know, how are we going to look at the rest of the community?
That other place, in some people's minds, may have to do with a couple of deaths of football players who died of cancer. There doesn't seem to be any link between that, but there's suspicions.
Absolutely. And so a lot of the people, it's a tight-knit community. There are 350 students at this school. Two football players have died in recent years from cancer. And people are wondering, you know, is there a link between contaminants, either at McClymonds or in our community? And I think another real big concern that I heard last night was McClymonds is a really special place for many people. It has been open for more than 100 years. And so they're worried, you know, is McClymonds going to close because of this, was a concern that people had. And I heard from a teacher there, Booker Lett, who said, you know, I asked him, what is the significance of this place?
Like, blood is to the body and oil is to the economy. Without it, the community will die.
Which prompts me to go right to you, John Sasaki. I mean, there's talk about McClymonds closing. In fact, at this point, is that maybe fait accompli?
Absolutely not. There is no one here at the district that has any plans to close McClymonds. That is not going to happen unless there is some kind of environmental emergency that causes us to close it. As you know, as you've been talking about, the test results initially, preliminary results last weekend, they came back showing exactly what we wanted to see. And so
the preliminary tests show that the air is safe, in other words.
That is correct. Yeah. Throughout the school, all the classrooms, anywhere that students congregate and staff congregates, the air is safe. Now, that's preliminary results. We're doing more testing right now. And once we have all those test results back, we certainly hope that they will reflect those preliminary results. We've been told by the experts at the state and the county level that, generally speaking, those preliminary results reflect well the final results, usually in most cases. So we're hoping that happens. This is not about, there's nothing here that is about closing McClymonds. Nobody in the district wants to do that.
But there are dozens of sites in Alameda and Oakland that have to be tested for TCE, aren't there, and that are undergoing cleanups?
That's really one of the shocking things that I've learned through all this, is just by going to this website called GeoTracker, you can look at your location, wherever you live, wherever you work, and you can see all of the potential toxic sites that are around your home, around your business, or anywhere else. And West Oakland is a very good example of the fact that it has countless locations like this. They're just in the McClymonds neighborhood, there are three locations with known TCE exposure. And so one is a former plating company, one is a former dry cleaner. There are a variety of locations that the TCE that's located under our campus could have come from. And we may never know exactly where it came from, but we know that it came from off campus, which is what we've been told by the experts. But this is something that happens throughout poor communities and throughout communities of color. This is the history of our country, this environmental injustice where people believe that you know, if you have industry, if you have waste, if you have, you know, the port or anything else, let's put it where the poor people live. That's how our nation has operated throughout history. And this is something that has to change, because this is about the health and well-being of our people, whether it's our kids, our families, our neighbors, whoever. We want everybody in Oakland to be safe and healthy, and so this has to change.
This is something that indeed has been a long time in necessitating the reality of change and how badly change is needed, and I'm glad you put it as you did, John Sasaki. John Sasaki, again, is Director of Communications at the Oakland Unified School District. Let me bring in Lynette Gibson McElhaney, who is Oakland City Council member representing District 3, which includes West Oakland. And I'd like, Council member, thank you for joining us. Glad to have you with us.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'd like to begin by asking you about this long history that John Sasaki referred to in West Oakland, and the concern about poor and racial communities being victims of environmental injustice.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, the community itself, we've all been advocating for better practices with respect to how do we redress the systemic inequity and the health disparities. You know, I think the California Endowment has done a study that showed that there's a 15 to 20 year age gap between those of us who live in the flatlands and those who live in the hills. And the discovery of TCE at McClymonds just magnifies how urgent the situation is for us to have a comprehensive response to the known toxins, to prioritize public health in this way so that we can begin to redress the systemic equity and life expectancy gaps.
So how are you moving forward in that direction, or what is being done, actually? There's been a lot of complaints within the community, not enough action and not enough spotlight.
Well, I am pleased so far that each of the levels of government have been really engaged here and have committed, as of last night's town hall, to forming an interagency working group so that we can bring everything that is known around air and soil and water together so that we can begin to prioritize and identify the risk and communicate that clearly to the public and to make budgetary requests that are in alignment with mitigating and remediations. Now, while that is going on, we are not going to stop in our advocacy that we get our kids back onto McClymonds campus quickly, that we bring in whatever mitigations, the air filtration systems, those things that will help keep the kids safe, as we continue to address the neighborhood concerns.
Now, we should mention there are about 350 students who have been assigned to nearby schools, and they've done a little bit of schools without walls. I'm wondering, Council Member, if you could address just how the EPA is involved in this. They put out a statement that actually specifically from the Department of Toxic Substances Control, and it said essentially more testing is needed. But what else do we know in terms of Cal EPA?
Well, Cal EPA's leaders have come down. They were there at the at the town hall last night, and I appreciate that they have stepped up to say that they will be a part of the interagency working group, that they are pledging their resources, that they are doing the extensive testing. They have been called in to other sites. But the big thing that came out of the town hall meeting last night was, are the kids on our other West Oakland campuses safe, and what do we know about the air quality there? And so we are calling on the DTSC to prioritize the areas on campus and around our schools immediately so that we can allay the fears of our families.
I'd like to invite our listeners to join this conversation. If your family has been affected by the school closures, please give us a call. Or if in general you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. And you can join us now at our toll-free number. I invite you to do that. The number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. Or get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. Or email any questions or comments you might have to forum@kqed.org, particularly, as I said, like to hear from those who have had impact as a result of this, talking about the McClyman school closure due to a discovery of a toxic chemical in the groundwater. Laura Clivens, reporter for KQED News, with us. John Sasaki, Director of Communications with Oakland Unified School District, also with us, and Councilmember Lynette Gibson McElhaney, who is representative of District 3, which includes West Oakland. Councilmember, West Oakland has, in some people's minds, had a deservingly bad rap when it comes to economic injustice and racism. Can I get you to comment on just how valid that is and, again, the necessity of action here?
I think, you know, John said it well, and it's well documented that this was a community that was routinely targeted with bad governmental actions. We continue to have bad actors now. We just spent almost a year and a half to get an illegal recycler out of the neighborhood, shutting down people who are doing ongoing harm. So the practices were historic and they're ongoing. And then you have a legacy of those decisions from a prior generation. And I think what the TCE and the groundwater at McClyman's immediately stoked were the fears, was there a link to this and the death of two of our beloved athletes? And where is the state, where is the federal government in determining whether or not there are linkages, direct linkages to the health that we're experiencing in our bodies and the failure to clean up these toxic sites?
Councilmember, appreciate very much your being with us. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
That's Councilmember Lynette Gibson McElhaney, who is Oakland City Councilmember District 3, which includes West Oakland. Let me go back to you, Laura Clivens. Laura Clivens with us in studios, KQED News Reporter. Let's talk some more about TCE. It's a carcinogen, and it's and certainly associated with things like dry cleaning and metalwork and a number of other things. It's also a solvent. But it's not only dangerous vis-a-vis cancer, it's also it can have long-term effects on the kidneys and all kinds of internal organs.
Right. It can harm health in many other ways, the immune system, the liver, the kidneys, like you said, reproduction.
And central nervous system, in fact. Yeah.
And so I think what is important to know is because it's volatile, it can be vaporized. It can go into the air and people can breathe it in. And one thing that I would like to say about it is because it's not totally clear, the groundwater is not the drinking water, and so they have been testing their drinking water at McClyman's, and that does not have TCE in it. That is pumped in from somewhere else, from the Sierras, actually.
And can I, before I go to our callers here, John Sasaki, ask you about the status of how things are going with the students having been removed from the school, their morale, et cetera. Can you make some general statements about all that?
Sure. You know, nobody's particularly happy about how this has all worked out. Everybody wants to be in school, doing their work, getting things done. Like you said, the senior projects are one of the things that we're concerned about. This week has been a little unusual because we've been doing a lot of field trips, very educational field trips. I was with some of our ninth graders yesterday as they toured an East Bay mud water processing facility over in Orinda, and they actually learned quite a bit about a variety of things, including how the water gets to their school and the difference between groundwater and drinking water. So there's been a lot of education happening, but it's not the education that a lot of the kids are feeling like they need to get to finish all the things that they are hoping to finish here soon. So given that, we want to get them back into a more normal learning situation as soon as possible. And so we're hoping we can get back into the school quickly, but we just don't know at this time when that's going to happen.
John, let me get a response from you, a comment from a listener named Brian, who writes, the concerns about impacts on students at the high school seem to be missing the obvious fact that people live in the same neighborhood. They live there all day and night, as opposed to a school in which students spend a limited time each day. This seems to be another overreaction based on inadequate information.
Well, we've been saying all along that we're very concerned about the neighborhood. This is not just McClyman's issue. This is an issue for the neighborhood, because if it's under our groundwater, or it's in our groundwater under our school, it's in the groundwater in the surrounding neighborhood as well. So this is a concern for everybody, and that's why we're talking about environmental justice and making sure that everybody who lives in West Oakland and anywhere else that is affected by this kind of toxic substance is taken care of and is made whole, so that their health and safety aren't threatened by their environment through no fault of their own.
And let me go to a caller. Don, that's you. You're on the air. Good morning.
I live in San Francisco, and I'm native San Franciscan and a native Bayan. And what I've noticed is this. Every time an area is going to be gentrified, there is an uproar of these chemicals that have to be cleaned up out of these neighborhoods, when black and brown people have been living in those neighborhoods for decades. Your earlier segment, the gentleman said something about history, and this is the sad part. Everyone takes advantage of the poor.
All right, Don, I thank you for that statement. Anybody want to react? John Sasaki?
Well, this is something that I was not aware of. I admit, I work for a school district, and so I am focused on doing everything that we can to support our schools and our students and our staff. But when it comes to the environment, this is something that I've just been learning a lot about because of this situation coming up at McClyman's, and it's become very clear to me. I mean, I think, like a lot of people, I've known for a very long time that communities of color have been mistreated historically. We know that, but this is such a clear example of that. That, it's restoked in me and restoked in a lot of people here at the district, this fire for making change for the benefit of the people who live in West Oakland and throughout our city.
Let me give you a quote, John Sasaki, from Margaret Gordon, who is co-founder and co-director of the West Oakland Environmental Indicators Project. She was unable to join us this morning, but she did share this quote, and I'd like your response. She said, quote, McClyman's is the epicenter of a larger problem of West Oakland. This is one of the many things that should have been remediated and cleaned up many, many years ago.
We agree that this kind of thing shouldn't be happening now, and it shouldn't have been happening decades ago. This is something that should have been resolved a long, long time ago for the benefit of the people who live there, not just our students, not just our staff, not just our families, but everybody who lives in the neighborhood.
And I'm wondering if you could respond to a listener named Mike. Mike says, does the already financially strapped Oakland School District get stuck with the bill for cleaning up the site, or can the companies that dump the TCE be tracked down and held accountable? Do companies just get to externalize this damage to the public and walk away? Should the state attorney general take this on?
That's a very good question. We don't know exactly. I mean, right now we're footing the bill because we have to have this work done, so we're paying for it. And we do know that one of the locations that is a possible source for this TCE is a location that where the business has long since been gone. So we don't know who we would go after there in case we're trying to recover some of our costs.
You might call the AG, though. I think that's an interesting recommendation on the part of our listener.
And one thing that I might add is from the state, there are a bunch of cases like this where there's essentially an orphan plume, as they call it, where these are really old companies that no longer exist. If the company does exist, they generally are on the hook for the bill.
So, Laura, what are we waiting for in terms of ongoing lab testing?
So we're waiting to get a report back that will likely come back the week of March 9th. And if that is all clear, then the students will likely go back that week to school.
Have you had the opportunity to talk to the students and get their take on all this?
I did. I talked to a student who said, it's been kind of interesting to be at the school. It's annoying to park at this other alternative location. But really, he wanted to get back and work on a senior project. Folks are really motivated. They want to graduate and they want to get on to the next thing.
And the next thing would be what? Let me go to you on this, John Sasaki. I mean, what are you telling parents in terms of where we go from here?
We are just trying to resolve this as quickly as possible. We're going to make sure that our kids are back at McClymonds as soon as we can have them back, provided that it's safe. And we're going to make sure that all our kids are whole with regard to their education. We're doing everything we can. These are unconventional circumstances. It's not something that happens very often in Oakland or any other school district, thankfully. But we're going to do everything we can to make sure that by the end of the school year, everything is done the way it should be done. The students will have their entire education completed for the year. And then, you know, kids who are seniors, for example, finishing those senior projects, will be able to go on to college where we know that they're going to succeed as well.
And a question from a listener named Jean. Does anyone know how long McClymonds has had this problem and how was it discovered?
So basically,
Laura Clivens,
the problem was discovered with ongoing testing of groundwater because formerly there was a petroleum tank underneath the school that was used to heat a swimming pool, and it was removed in 1997. And so in an effort to close that case, the county was doing ongoing testing. They didn't find any contamination from petroleum, but what they did find was TCE. And so that just recently happened.
And getting back to that question a listener raised about liability, Laura, my understanding is there's a metal plating company that's only a few blocks away, and they're thinking that may be culpable.
Right. There's that site, and there's a former dry cleaning site where TCE was found. And then there were some other sites in the area that had underground tanks. And so all of those places are what the county and the state are looking into.
You can unleash some lawyers here, I would think, John Sasaki, can't you?
I'm not going to get into what, you know, the legal remedies would be in the situation, but certainly this is one of those situations where we'd be looking at all avenues.
Well, what other avenues at this point in terms of just, and Laura, I'm going to go to you on this, and just we've been talking about the neighborhood, we've been talking about West Oakland. There's a lot of concern out there about TCE. Where do we go?
Mm-hmm. So one thing that was proposed last night by members of the community was, you know, how do we trust the results from these tests? And so the proposal was, what if we get, you know, our own outside agency to be a check on these trusts, on this?
Somebody moving in that direction or trying to organize, mobilize?
Well, I think as we heard the councilwoman say earlier, there is going to be this working group that's bringing together all sorts of people. And as we heard the quote from Ms. Margaret Gordon before, she has been leading efforts within the community to clean up the air. And I believe she and her colleagues are interested in cleaning up the groundwater as well.
Are you seeing a lot of grassroots organizing here?
Just those people that I've mentioned. But for example, Ms. Margaret Gordon, she has been working on this issue for two decades. Again, focused on air largely, but they've been working with the state.
This issue has been around a long time, really, as callers have been pointing out.
Right. If you look at the history of this area in Oakland, there's a ton of industry. A lot of it came after World War II with the military presence in West Oakland. And it has stuck around. And everywhere humans go, they spill things. And sometimes those things are toxic.
How long have we known, though, about the potential dangers to groundwater or, for that matter, the vaporization of this TCE?
Well, this one we just knew about from the testing just recently.
Well, we will continue, obviously, to monitor this. Hope that things go well. Thank you, John Sasaki. Good to have you aboard. Appreciate your being with us. And thank you, Laura Clivens. Good
You're
to
welcome.
Have you
thank
as
you.
Well. And we also want to thank the council member who was with us this segment.